Okay, sorry about the little, I don't know what problem just happened. But I was saying that my brother-in-law had sent me a text message with a scripture last week, and I began to read the scripture, read the stories, and I was talking to the Lord about it, how many times I've spoke from these particular passages, and God in his goodness, man, really opened my eyes and opened my understanding to a couple things. So I honor God for that. But let's pray, and then we'll jump into 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. Father, Lord, we come to you today in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. We thank you, Yahweh, for being our King, our God, and our Father. We thank you for everything that you've done for each one of us individually and collectively. We thank you that your grace and your mercy is enough, Lord. We thank you that you are exactly who that you say that you are. And today I pray that you inspire and strengthen us. I pray that you allow us to leave that this meeting or when we hear this word forever changed by your heart, forever changed by your power of your Holy Spirit. Yahweh, I pray today that you somehow give us a word, somehow speak to us so that we can know you even deeper and know that your love for us is exactly what you say that it is. By faith, we believe these things done. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. A little bit of a backstory. You have a lot of the people with the prophet Elisha. They went to him and said, listen, Elisha, we're growing. We need to build a new place. We need to expand because there's a lot of us that's coming under your leadership that's following the Lord. And then you have the king of Syria who is upset that he says, listen, and I'm paraphrasing, but what he's saying is, listen, I feel like every single move I make against the Lord's people, against Elisha, against the king of Israel, every single move that I make, it's like somebody's telling him where I'm at. In other words, the king of Syria thought he had a traitor in his camp because God was telling Elisha what was going on with the enemy, and Elisha would therefore pass the word on to the king and, you know, stop mass murders from happening, and they would win battles or at least not have to fight as the underdog. So you have Elisha. He's with a servant, and the king of Syria has sent men, and they are in a life and death situation. And we'll get in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, therefore, he sent horses and chariots, he being king of Syria, chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? In other words, we're about to die. What can save us from this situation? What can prevent this massacre from happening? In verse 16, this is Elisha talking. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today because for the past many 20 years, I've read this story, and I believe that God sent this army that was more than the army in the physical. I believe that God had sent these chariots of fire to protect Elisha, to protect the people that were with Elisha. But when I go back and read this story, and when I was talking to God about it, the Lord whispered a word to me. I was like, Lord, Elisha's in this situation. It's life and death, and it's a great word. I went back and looked up the original word in the Hebrew when Elisha prayed for God to open the eyes of his servant, of his friend. And it's not a spiritual word. It literally means to observe or to open in the literal sense. To open and then to observe. In other words, to look. It's not a great word that was going to go with my message. And I was like, Lord, all Elisha did was pray that his friend's eyes were opened. And then God whispered to me that they were already there. You see, brothers and sisters, God did not send this army to protect Elisha when he was in this life or death situation. You see, when Elisha was growing with his followers, when they were building, when they were doing some things for the Lord, the army was already there. And that's what I want to encourage you with today. If you're experiencing growth in your life and you're experiencing good times, I want you to know that the army of the Lord is around you, that God has angels on your north, south, east, and west. He is protecting you in the good times and in the medium times and in the hard times. You see, you and I serve a good, good Father that doesn't just send help when help is needed. He's always right there with us. And Elisha had this army protecting him when they were growing, when they were in a life and death situation. For all the days of his life, I believe God sent this army to protect him. And I want to encourage you to let you know that if your child has maybe went wayward, or your husband or wife or family member or friend, maybe he's not serving the Lord right now, I want you to know that God still got him. You see, God is not scared of sin. God is not scared or worried about somebody not listening, so to speak. But he will be there to protect them. He will be there to wait until they're ready for their eyes to be opened. I always thought God, in his being a rescuer and God being somebody that'll be there in the nick of time and maybe singing some of the old hymns talking about God's a God right on time all the time, and all the time God's right on time. And those stories and songs are absolutely true. But I'm telling you, when Elisha prayed for his servant, for his friend's eyes to be open, it was not a prayer that God had just sent this chariots of fire. It was not a prayer to say, God, show my friend, show my servant what you did last night in the midnight hour. No, it was a prayer to say, God, I want you to reveal to him. I want you to allow him to observe something that I see in the good times and the bad. How many of us today can say that we've served God and had some good times? I would no doubt believe everybody. But many of us, and I would argue probably all of us, can say that when we serve God, we've had some not so great days. And yes, I would rather go through something with God than not go through something without him. Absolutely. But I want you to know, for you to see the goodness of God, you have to take the time to observe. When my wife or my kids, when I come home and they want to show me something, and unfortunately I've did this maybe a couple times, maybe a lot of times, Alex or one of the kids will be like, Dad or Alan, I want you to look at this. And I'll run through the house and in my hurry, you know, change clothes and try to get this done and try to get that done. And I won't take a minute to observe whatever it is they're trying to show me. And the only person that gets hurt from that is me, and maybe the person that's trying to show me something, because I won't take the time to look at it. I won't take the time to admire or to see, you know, maybe something the kids have done at school or whatever it may be. But when Elisha prays for his friend to see something that he's never seen before, the one thing the friend had to be willing to do, the servant had to be willing to do, was to sit back and observe. And we know, according to the story, that the friend observes, he sees the chariots of fire, and he's comforted. But Elisha was comforted before the enemy came. How many of us today could be encouraged that if we're comforted knowing that God's with us when we get a good doctor's report, and God's with us when the doctor calls back and says, I need to see you again? How many of us could be comforted when the money's looking good and when it's hard to make ends meet? If we can know God in the good times, then we can know God in the bad times. And I want to encourage you today to know that if you can know God in the bad times, then he will be God all by himself. You don't have to go through like everybody else. You don't have to deal with anxiety and fear and worry and doubt, because God is there and wants you to observe his goodness. God wants me to observe his goodness. So the Bible says that Elijah prays and he asks his friend's eyes to be open, and he gets to see the chariots of fire. But the story doesn't end there. And this is one of the things that God whispered to me. He told me to keep reading, keep going. Because I thought I understood how this story ended. I could almost quote it, to be honest with you. But the Bible goes on, and when the Syrian army, Elijah prays, and once again, just for the sake of time, I'll paraphrase. He says, "Listen, Lord, I pray that you strike them with blindness." And Elisha tells the army that, listen, this is not the city you're trying to go, but he leads them into the camp of the enemy. And it will pick up right here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 20. The Bible says, "So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elijah said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see.' And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria." In other words, Elisha had entered or had led them into the city of their enemy. And then Elisha prayed the very same prayer that he prayed for his friend. He said, "Lord, I pray that you will open up their eyes. I pray that you will allow them to observe what's around them." And the Bible says that they open their eyes and they're in the middle of their enemy. And the king of Israel says, "Listen, Elijah, shall I kill them? Shall I strike them down, master? In other words, should I take care of them so they can never hurt us again?" And Elisha's response is where I really want to focus today. Elisha says, "Not so. I want you to feed them. I want you to give them water, and I want you to let them go." Brothers and sisters, the way that you and I should handle our enemies most of the time is not to rebuke them. It's not to treat them poorly. It's not to hit them with a sword or hit them over the head with the word of God. It's to show them compassion. Elisha went from experiencing growth to having the enemy all around him and praying a prayer that God would open the eyes of his friend, of his servant, to show the protection was around him, and then they have the enemy right where they want him, and Elisha shows an act of mercy and compassion. Elisha says, "Listen, feed them, water them, make sure they're taken care of, and after you do these things, let them go." I want you to know today that your acts of compassion, your acts of mercy, your acts of love, my acts of kindness, your acts of kindness is going to be what changes people's hearts. It's going to be what God uses in our lives to change people that was attacking us to never attack us again. It's going to be what God uses to show this nation that he is exactly who he says that he is. You want to change somebody's political party or political views? Don't beat them over the head. Show them love when nobody else will. You want to change somebody's attitude about the God that you serve? Then I dare you, I challenge you to show them mercy when nobody else would. When they deserve death, I pray that we'll give them life. When they deserve condemnation, God says that I'll give them another chance because he is a God of mercy and truth. You see, brothers and sisters, somebody's waiting on your prayer. Somebody's waiting on you to pray, "God, I pray that you'll show my enemy your goodness. I pray that you'll show my enemy your compassion. I pray that you'll show my enemy you and you alone, Lord Jesus." The story never ended with the opening of the eyes of the servant of Elisha. It was absolutely only the beginning. Today, I want you to know that the God that opened up the servant's eyes and the God that opened up the enemy's eyes is the very same God that today is telling us to observe, to look at him, to find him in every situation. You see, it was grace and mercy that brought the enemy out. But then the Bible goes on to say a couple verses down that the same enemy that was trying to kill Elisha and kill God's people and was trying to do all these harmful things for many, many years, that after Elisha and the children of Israel show them compassion, they feed them, they give them water, and they make sure they're taken care of and they let them go. The Bible later on in the chapter is extremely clear and it says they never came back to attack the children of Israel again. One act of compassion, One act of going against the grain, so to speak. One act of you not going with the crowd and showing somebody the love of Jesus. One act of me not going with the in crowd and not feeling peer pressure and showing somebody love even though they don't deserve it, because I've been in that situation. I continuously still sometimes put myself in that situation where I need mercy instead of judgment. I need grace instead of condemnation. I need love to cover a multitude of sins. And when God gives me those things, and God's people give me those things, that's what changes me. It's not when somebody beats me over the head with the word of God. Is there time of correction? Absolutely. But I want you to know what made those people never come take the life or try to take the life of Elisha again was when he was willing to show them love when they deserved death. This was a time of war. They were coming to kill him. They were coming to take his head. And he had them exactly where he wanted them. And most would argue, myself included, that God struck them with blindness so that he could lead them into the enemy's camp and kill them. But Elisha said, not so. Don't do it this way again. I want to do it a different way. And I want to challenge us today to do it a different way. I want us to pray when it's hard. I want us to pray when it's uncomfortable. I want us to give when maybe we don't have the means to give. And I want God to be God in our lives, because I promise you, he is right there with you. He's already sent the chariots of fire. He's already sent the angels around you. But you and me have to make the choice to observe. You may say, Brother Allen, that's easy. I can observe things. Then sit still for 5 minutes today. I challenge you to do that. One of the greatest faults in my life is sometimes I don't take the time just to sit down. Alex will get me, Allen, you won't even sit down. The house is clean, that this or this, but you can always find something to do. I can. I can tell my kids and my wife today, hey, listen, tonight's Isabel's birthday, and let's just sit on the couch for 10, 15 minutes and talk. We did it a couple weeks ago, and I made ask each one of us to say 3 or 4 positive things about the other person or something God was doing in their life. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it was one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced in my life. I challenge you today to sit down with your family or your friends or coworkers or whomever it may be and tell them some good things. Tell them some things of compassion. Tell them some things of mercy. Tell them some things that they don't deserve. Tell them about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Elisha did it and saved countless, countless lives. Because Elisha was willing to show mercy and grace, it stopped the hand of the enemy. Because Jesus was willing to show mercy and grace to me, then it forever changed the course of my history. How many people is waiting on you to observe? I know people are waiting on me to slow down and observe. Because when you observe something, it's a truth to you individually. And when you have the truth of God on the inside of you, you are as powerful as Elisha. Stop reading these stories and think it was only Elisha that could strike the water or Joshua to tell the moon and the sun to stand still. You have power of life and death on the inside of you. And the reason the enemy tries to convince you of the opposite of that is because he knows when you know that you have love and greatness on the inside of you and you show people love instead of judgment, you show people kindness instead of condemnation, then that will be what changes them forever. The Bible says that love is the greatest of all. That love covers a multitude of sin. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I thank God that Elisha prayed for his servant's eyes to be opened so that the servant could see the army that I used to think God sent for that situation. But now I realize by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that army was always there with Elisha. And I want you to know you have an army fighting for you. You have protection on every side. You are covered with the grace and the mercy and the love of Almighty Yahweh. You are he's fascinated by you. You're the apple of his eye. He sent his son to die for you and me. He absolutely loves you. And he's waiting on you to pray a prayer for somebody like Elisha, sure to show protection, but more than anything, to pray a prayer for somebody to show him compassion. Elisha went from experiencing growth to experiencing protection. And because he had those things with God, he could then experience and show mercy and grace. That's what I believe God wants for our lives. I believe that's what the nation and the world is waiting on, is for the people of God to stand up and to show love and compassion and grace in the midst of all this adversity. That's when people will come to the kingdom. Let's pray. God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that no man can come to you unless you first call him. And I thank you that, God, you call us and that you redeemed us and that you love us. And I thank you this morning that you've given each one of us an army to fight on our behalf. I thank you that the battle's yours, saith the Lord. I thank you that we are more than victorious in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Yahweh, today for the very mercy and grace that got us up. I thank you that love does cover a multitude of sins. Yahweh, I thank you today that it is you and you alone that picks us up and holds us and allows us to pray these prayers. But God, more than anything, I pray today that you allow us to experience your mercy and your goodness. I pray for a settling today, a settling in the spirit that we can sit down and relax, that we can sit down and observe your goodness. Because I believe when we look for you, that we find you. I believe that when we look for you, you're always right there. And I believe that when we look for you, that's when we can commune and talk to you and listen to you. And I thank you, God. Oh God, I thank you that you speak to each one of us individually. And God, your way is better than ours. And we say yes to you, Father. Yes to you, Abba, and all your goodness and all your love and all your compassion. We pray these things by faith, believing them to be done. We settle them in the spirit, and we pray them in the name of Jesus. Amen.